week, I was able to sit down with an individual when I was back in North Carolina, and this person was struggling a little bit. And she was struggling a little bit with understanding, you know, God's love for her. And how can he love me? Because I'm always disappointing God. I said, how are you always disappointing God? Can you tell me how? Well, I just, you know, things I do, things I don't do, my thoughts, my not, you know, just things that are that happen around me, I'm sure are not always pleasing to God. And I said, listen, let me explain something to you. And I sat down to her with her, and I spent about 5 minutes explaining this to her. And this is sad to say, but she said, I've never heard the gospel explained that way. And all I said to her was this. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? You remember this? He was asked, what is the greatest commandment? What did Jesus say? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And the second one is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I asked her this question. I said, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind? And she just kind of looked at me. I said, and do you love your neighbor as yourself? And she just kind of looked at me. I said, you don't, and I don't. What Jesus was saying, I'm going to set this impossible standard for you. There's no way you can love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. We're always hanging on to something. We're always hanging on to something. And love your neighbor as yourself? Really? Who can do that? And so Jesus was calling them out. See, I know you have hate for your neighbor. I know you don't like this neighbor and you don't like that neighbor. And he's calling them out and he says, there's another way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And he kind of reinforces it with the rich young ruler. Remember the rich young ruler? The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the commandments. Honor your father and your mother. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't do this. Don't do that. Da, 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 da. Well, I've kept every one of them. And Jesus calls him out and says, okay, now go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. He's like, oh, yeah. And he went away sad. Why? Because he was very wealthy. And remember, we're all hanging on to something. He was putting his wealth before God. So God says, you can't do it. He reinforced that with the rich young ruler. You can't do it. You can't do it. I can do it. I did it. Now I'm going to give you a gift. Receive it freely. And we need to be reminded of this. A lot of times when we're reading the New Testament, and this is why I want to have some classes on this subject, because a lot of times we're reading the New Testament, we'll see something that Jesus says and we'll go, oh, I need to love my neighbor as myself. And we try to go out and we try to do that and we fall short. And then we figure out, oh, well, God must be disappointed in me. No, he's not. He knows you can't. God is never disappointed in you, ever. No, we can have fun, right? We can have fun as Christians and we can make fun of others too, and God still loves us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You can, Travis, you can be you. What? I can be me? God loves me? Yes. I don't have to change anything? No. No. We're talking about grace here. We're talking about love you like you are, not a future version of you. And this is where religion gets mixed up.
try harder, perform better, give more, do more. Oh, I'm out. I'm just out. You ever hear a pastor get burned out? Get burned out. Because they're trying. They just, I can't do this anymore. And they just, boom, gone. This Jesus makes it easy. We studied this. We said, what are the work? Well, if you want to do the works of God, how do you do the works of God? Believe. What does John say? We just went through this. What does John say? John chapter 6. Believe. What do you want to do if you want to do the will of God? Believe. Believe in Him. You're doing the works and the will of God. Wow, you can't get much better than that. And so, you know, we looked at this, and John, we're going to finish out the rest of John 6. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John 6. And remember, at the beginning of John 6, what did he do? What miracle did he do? He fed 5,000. And this is kind of hilarious because he calls Philip out and he says, hey, Philip, you got any suggestions here? That'd be like asking me and Jeff, you guys suggest, well, we don't, the kitchen is too small. It's impossible. And that would be our answer, right? Jeff and I, we need to build a bigger kitchen, or we need to buy some more food. And Jesus comes along and says, sit down, have the people sit down. Now think about this. Did he tell them, go to work hard, make some money, come back here, we'll put all our money together, and we'll have a big powwow? No, he says, have the people sit down. What part are the people going to play in this miracle? Zero. Are they going to have to work for the food? Nope. Where did he have them sit down? And you know, I never really thought about this till I was really just praying about this, and God said, Chuck, look where I had them sit down. Hello? In the grassy area. Not in the rocky area, not in a turbulent area, in a grassy area. And that led me back to, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me beside still waters and green pastures. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Not desert land, thorns and briars and stickers. Sit down, relax. That's basically, back then, green grass on the side of a mountain would be what's called a modern day lazy boy. Have a seat in your lazy boy. Oh, okay. I'm going to serve you. And by doing this miracle, by feeding the 5,000, he was trying to show, because they're going to say, our fathers fed us manna. No, Moses, they said Moses. They got it wrong. They said Moses fed us manna in the wilderness. Who are you? I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to feed you. And he corrected him. He said, Moses didn't feed you manna. My father did. Whoa. And I'm gonna do it again for you, just in case you don't realize who I am. I fed you then, and I'm going to feed you now. Now, how many people, we go through this in our life, we think, well, God did something for me at one time. Is he ever going to do anything else? He's always doing something for you. He's always looking out for your best interest. He's always guiding us. He's always leading us. We just have to sit down in the green grass and listen. He's always wanting to serve you up a good meal to fill our belly, to satisfy us. And he's going to call them out here in a minute and say, I know why you're following me, because I satisfied your fleshly desires. Now, I want to take you to another level. I am that bread that came down. I am the bread of life. And he's going to say some real harsh things, so let's go on this. He's going to say some real hard things, and the disciples, a lot of them are going to leave at this point. They're going to go, this is too much. This guy's crazy. I'm out of here. And so, you know how a lot of churches or a lot of pastors, we're all guilty of, let's get more people in here. Let's try to do things that'll make people happy and please them. Let's get an $80,000 sound system and a light show. And let's get more people. And that's the idea of more people, more people. Jesus is like, let's get less people.
Yeah.
let's weed out the ones that are just coming here just for the show. Let's weed out the ones that are coming here just for what I can do for them. And let's get the ones that want to really know me. And that's our prayer for this church. We get the ones that really want to know him. No superficial. We don't have a fancy light show here. And even if we had the budget for it, Jennifer, we wouldn't want it. Smoke screens. People, the pastor going across the church on a wire. You don't believe me? Go on TikTok. The pastor coming out of some kind of cloud. Boo. it does get spooky. So Jesus is telling them, and he's telling us today, guys, and nothing drives this point home more further than having your dad die in front of you. And you realize he's gone on to his true father. And we sat there, when my dad died last week, I sat there with my stepmom and I said, let's raise our hands up and let's praise the Lord. And we sang and we praised the Lord. And we cried and we sang some more and praised the Lord. And the poor nurse, she's like, oh, I'll let you guys, I'm out of here. And she thought we were crazy, but it was just, it was amazing just to see somebody like enter in. And, you know, yesterday, Georgia, everybody knows I'm a Georgia football fan. We had gone to pick up Maria's car. She had to get new brakes and tires on it. And on the way back, I'm in the truck alone. I said, you know, I'm going to call my dad. And I'm like, oh. Because I would always call him on the Georgia, on a Saturday when Georgia played. And I remember what he'll say. Well, Charles, who do you think's going to win today? But going back to that, it makes you think about there's more to life. And this old body, the older it gets, and I'm kind of limping around. I go, Tom's hurting. We're all kind of getting old. And Tom said something this morning like, yeah, you know, Tom was saying, I kind of wondered why God makes our body just go to hell in a handbasket, so to speak. Because it really kind of gives us an idea that, yeah, there is something better, okay? We got to get rid of the old to get the new. And that's what Jesus has said to us spiritually, is the old has gone. The new has come. We are a new creation in him. And from the moment you believe, you enter eternity. So by my dad passing, he just took his last earthly breath, entered into the presence of the Lord. And I had to think about that for a minute. Jesus is telling us here, guys, that there's something more. And I'm here. And it's me that you've been looking for. I am that bread in the wilderness that fed you daily, that nourished you, that satisfied you. I'm that. And I'm that spiritually. Boy, if we don't get into the word, we're not going to make it, are we? So I'm starting it. I want to start in verse 47. John chapter 6, verse 47, if you have your sword with you. And John chapter 6, verse 47. 47. And Jesus is talking here. He says, very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. believes in what? Nothing. The one who believes has eternal life. Believes in, does XYZ, believes and quits doing XYZ. No, just believes. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. Who can eat the bread? Anyone. Do not listen to the people out there to say, oh, only the people that God has chosen can come to him. There's only, he chose you, Teresa, but he didn't choose you, John. Sorry about that. That's a false doctrine. Everyone, all nations, everyone who will believe. God is an equal opportunity saver. It doesn't require anything but for you to believe in him, to have faith in him, and you enter into everlasting life, and it cannot be taken from you. You are secure in that forever. It's not based on your performance. If it was based on your performance, then David would have gone to hell. And so would a lot of other people in the Bible. I would have lost my salvation by now 5,017 times, maybe more, if it was based on my performance. It's based on his performance. It's based on his faithfulness. Amen. His righteousness is imputed to you. It's like a DNA transfer. I'm going to take the righteousness of God and transfer it to you. Now, you are righteous. Not only are you righteous, you're blameless. Your accuser has been silenced by the blood. Boom. Hello? You said what? Say that again. You see, guys, when we start thinking bad about ourselves, we start listening to the wrong person. When you hear yourself saying, "Oh, I'm not worthy," or "Oh, I," that's not God saying that. God is saying you are worthy. I sent my only son to die. You're going to believe what the Bible says or what the enemy says or your accuser says? Because your accuser, if you listen to him long enough, you'll think, I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. Don't listen to him. He's the enemy. Listen to the truth, what Jesus thinks of you. I sent my son to die for you. Again, God demonstrated his love for you through his son while you were a sinner. Hello. So he says, whoever eats this bread will live how long? For a limited amount of time? Forever. Now, who are you going to believe? You going to believe the accuser or are you going to believe what God says? This is Jesus talking here, guys. If you believe, you will live forever. My dad became a believer many, many years ago. He just transitioned. That's it. He literally stepped from the earth into paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise, he said to the thief on the cross. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. What's he referring to there? How he's going to die. He's going to hang on that cross. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. For the life of who? Select few people? The life of the world, whoever will believe. So the Jews begin to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Here again, they're thinking in the here and now, And this is where we get misguided when we start thinking only in the here and now. We start thinking it's impossible. And at the end of the chapter, God, the disciples are when Jesus was talking to that rich young ruler I referred to earlier, he also continued talking about how difficult it was for a rich man to be saved. And the disciples asked, well, who then can be saved? And he says, with man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. All things. And so, Jesus said to them, very, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whew, that's pretty rough if you're thinking in the here and now physical. Jesus is cannibal? He's a cannibalist? I'm going to have to eat his flesh and drink it? I can't do that. I can't do that. They haven't been in the spirit to this point, and Jesus is taking them from the feeding of the 5,000 to where you get your bellies full to here I am, the bread of life. Now I'm going to get your spirit full of me. And now you're going to truly be able to see. Because you really can't see anything until you see it in the spirit. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many disciples said, this is hard teaching. I agree. That's pretty hard teaching if you're not thinking in the spirit. They're like, who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? You see, Jesus is not looking to win a popularity contest. He's not looking to win a political party. He's not looking to become the president or the governor or the king even. He's looking to reveal who the Father is and how much God loves you. The devil wants you to think God is mad at you. The devil wants you to think God is angry with you, and God is going to come get you one day because you're not walking perfectly. There was only one that walked perfectly. You know how to walk perfectly? Believe in him. Have faith in him. Now you're walking perfectly. Perfectly in him. Perfectly righteous. Perfectly good. Perfectly holy. The Bible even says we're blameless and set apart, sanctified and redeemed. Wow. Really? Yeah. You going to believe what God says about you, or are you going to believe what the world says or religion? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before, if this offends you? The Spirit, and here's where he kind of nails it down for the ones that are hanging in there. They're the ones that are hanging in there. They're not there because they got their bellies full. They're there because they know something, that this is what the Jesus that Moses wrote about, this is the God that Moses wrote about. And they know it, and they're hanging in there. And he says, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. Whew! I think of all the years I spent in the gym, working out, oh, I got to get bigger biceps. So I'd be doing, you know, 100-pound curls. And I'd go home the next day, I could barely lift my arms. And I'm like, but you know, and I think of all the wasted time in the gym. The flesh amounts to nothing. and I still work out, by the way, but I'm just not a fanatic about it anymore. And he says, lost my place. He says, does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you. Now here he's going to explain what he meant by eat my flesh and drink my blood. This is a metaphor of what he's talking about, the Spirit. He says, the words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. They are just full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. How did Jesus know all that? Here again, we talk about this all the time. When I said earlier, God can never be disappointed in you, how can you say that, Chuck? Because he knows everything before it even happens. You're like a surprise him. You can't catch God by surprise. I didn't know you were going to do that. What were you thinking? Be like the redneck. Hold my beer and watch this. I didn't know you were going to do that, man. I'm really disappointed in you. No, he knew you were going to be that stupid. He knew I was going to be that stupid before I did it. And so he says, he knew which one was going to betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one could come to me unless the Father has enabled them. Now, this is where, and I want to elaborate on this. I won't go too deep on this, but this is where people will argue, and it's usually believers will argue among themselves, that, see, God doesn't enable everybody. This is why certain people don't believe. Or God doesn't draw everybody. This is why some people don't believe. No. Jesus called him out when he told him, Moses wrote about me. And if you'd have believed, welcome, guys. Welcome. How y'all doing? And if Moses wrote about me, if you'd have believed Moses, you would know who I am. So see, they've been rejecting God for a long, long time. This is not a new thing. And Jesus tells them themselves, you don't even keep the commandments. You don't even keep the commandments. But yet you see somebody carry their bed on a Sabbath day and you want to stone them. In other words, you got your own religion. That's not mine. That's not me. That's not me. From this time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Jesus, and I love this, we'll close it out and we'll hit chapter 7 next week. Y'all come back next week, because if you don't come back next week, you'll have to pay $99.99 to get the online version. He says, you do not want to leave too, do you? Now, so imagine all these people are following him because he's fed them this really good meal. And now he's calling out. I know why you're following me. You don't really, you want what I can do for you, but you really don't want anything to do with me. And this is the way we are. This is the way people are. Hey, I want to know that billionaire guy. If I could just get to know him. You don't really want to know him. You want to be acquainted with him enough where he can, hey, could you write me a little check? I'm running a little short, maybe $100,000. That's nothing to you. $100,000's nothing to you. That's like a $20 bill. You don't really want to know the billionaire. You want to follow him around and maybe he'll give you some breadcrumbs. So that's why Jesus is saying, whoa, 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 I am the billionaire of billionaires. You saw what I just did. You saw what I just did. And he's going to do these many miracles where he's walking on the water. He's feeding the 5,000. He's doing all these miracles, healing people. Blind people from birth are walking around in the streets seeing. And people are going, whoa, aren't you the guy that used to be blind from birth? Oh, but I had an encounter with the living God. And now I can see. And to be able to see physically is one thing, guys, but to be able to see spiritually is another. If you want to pray to see spiritually. If you want to pray to see, the Spirit will reveal to you what you need at the time you need it. And the verse that kept coming up on my mind last week was when my dad took off, now I see through a glass dimly. But when I see him face to face, amen? Now we know in part, then we will know in full. And so we finish this out by, he's saying, do you want to leave too? And Simon Peter, my buddy, the fisherman, rough, tough dude, he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? And I always think of the movie Officer and a Gentleman. When I don't know why. But I always think of Richard Gere. You young people are too young to remember the movie. Richard Gere, Officer and a Gentleman. He's about to wash out of flight school. He's an aviation. He's going to be a fighter pilot. And they're going to wash him out. And he's down there doing push-ups. And they got the drill sergeant with a hose in his face. Just quit. Just say I quit. Just and you can leave. And he says, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. No, just quit and you can leave. Just quit. I'm not going to quit. He says, and finally he says, I got nowhere else to go. And this is what Peter is saying. He is saying, Lord, whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Who was Peter before he met Jesus? A nobody. A fisherman down by the docks, living his life day to day. He had no religious upbringing. He went to no seminary. He was a member of no church. And he saw and he believed. I say he became successful. I say the definition of success in life is to know your Savior and Creator. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do with your life. Do whatever makes you happy. Do whatever makes you some money. Sometimes you got to do things that make money that maybe not make you happy. But you have to have money that makes you happy, so it all works out. Does that make sense? But he says, we have nowhere else to go. And Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12? So we know there's at least 12 people left. Everybody else is probably scrambled by this time. Eat your what? Eat your flesh and drink your what? No, I'm out. I'm out. And Jesus is finally going, okay, now I've got the ones that truly want to know me. And now we're going to go rock the world, right? And he says, have I not chosen you the 12 yet? One of you is a devil. Who was standing there among those 12? Judas. He met Jesus, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, through one of the 12, was later to betray him. The moral of it, guys, Jesus knows it all. He knows what's happening. He knows what's going on in your life. Don't feel so alone. Don't worry. Don't be angry. Don't be, just say, okay, God, look, I'm going to trust you by faith. You know, I'm that guy, Job, sitting under a tree, picking my sores. I've lost everything, but still I will trust him. Even if he slays me, even if he kills me, I will still trust him. Woo! That's to know him. Not because of what all he's going to do for you. He's already done everything for you anyway. And he's only going to do good things. He says, I know what, if you being evil know the good gifts to give to your children, how much more do you think your Father in heaven will give to you? If you ask. He said, you don't have because you don't ask. Whatever you need today, ask of the Father. Daxton, you need a binky. But no, I love the kids because the kids keep me on my toes. Yeah, because I have to really stay focused.
Stay ahead.
Yeah, you got to lean in. All right, guys. Good to have you guys. Good to have you guys, Travis and Callie. And we'll be back next week for the continuation of John. Here's what I suggest, guys. If you haven't read the book of John, go back and catch up to where we are. Go back to John 1, John 2, John. You'll catch up real quick and come up to John 7. Go ahead and read John 7. And then next week, we're going to go over John 7. We might not make it through the whole chapter. We're not doing too good. We're not making it chapter by chapter like we said we would. That kind of rhymed.
Yeah.
But we're getting through. And I don't want to, you know, I try to follow the leading of the Spirit here. Sometimes I'll get stuck on one verse and that's all it'll be. But sometimes we can go a little more. But we just need, what we're doing now is understanding who God is. And one thing I want everybody to understand is how much God loves you. Do you know that, kids? Do you know that? That God loves you? Yeah. Do you know he loves you so much he can't take his eyes off of you? That's a little eerie, you know, he's watching everything you do. Understand, God loves me. It's like my dad's last words, happy birthday to me. We can say, God loves me. Every night you can go to bed and say, God, thank you for loving me. I don't know why you do, but thank you. And God's going to say, this is why I do. Because I created you. I formed you in the womb. I made you to be with me forever. I'm a good God. I'm not an angry God. I'm never angry at you. I love you. Remember that. That's a message that we don't hear today. That's called good news. Somebody loves me? Say, Jesus loves me. Everybody say it. Jesus loves me. Amen. Amen.